Appreciate those little short songs. Beautiful. I had those beautiful for a long time. Back when those little children to play, and there were little children singing that song. This evening, I'd like to share some scripture with you, just out of the Bible. I don't need a PowerPoint or anything like that. Just use the Word of God. And they're going to come from Luke chapter 8 and 9, and some familiar stories, and then Luke 18 and 19. Luke 18 and 19. And start out by asking the question, what does the church look like Monday through Saturday? What does the church look like Monday through Saturday? And many times when we think about church, we think about coming in wonderfully, beautifully, singing the Lord, singing praises to the Lord, and the idea of taking the Lord's Supper and being together, and we call that the church. But when I grew up, I was always told that the church is not the building, right? Maybe that's just me. I grew up differently. I don't know. But the church is not the building. It's the people that is the church. So I ask the question again. What does the church look like Monday through Saturday? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. And so when we think about church, what we need to be thinking about is to walk every day as Jesus walked. How did Jesus do it? What did Jesus look like every day? Not just the way he looked in the synagogue, not just the way when he was teaching the 5,000 and the crowd beating the 4,000. Not that way or coming in triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the donkey, but how did Jesus walk every day in his life, in the normal life of the people? Because we're going to notice this evening that Jesus was around people every day. And I'm just going to take a wild guess here, but I believe that the church is around people every day. I think every one of us is around people every day. Some people might push your buttons a little bit. Some people are enjoying it. Might be some students that might need some help. It might be some friends. But the church needs to get outside of what people say the walls. We understand that the church is not the building, but unfortunately, many times the way we think of the church is we think of the church as if it's always us together. And this is very important for outreach because what is happening in the 21st century is the church community is changing. The church community is not necessarily the one that's around the building first. The church community is the people that the church is in contact with. In other words, my family, my friends, my co-workers, my neighbors, the people I come in contact, they are the church community. The wonderful thing about this is our church just got a lot bigger and a lot more outreach to it. Another thing about that is it's not just talking about Jesus and sharing Jesus with strangers. And it's not a method. It's not a program. It's just living my everyday life, sitting with my friends at school, sitting with my friends at the coffee shop, whatever it might be, my neighbors, co-workers, listening and hearing that when someone needs prayers or listening, just sitting down with a young person that might come in and say, hey, I have problems with my marriage, and just being there for them. That is being the church. Or from an outreach standpoint, you might be one of those people that pays $100 and some odd to run 13 miles and a half marathon for cancer. You know why you can do that? I don't. My body doesn't know either. I'm not going to find out anytime soon. But you know why you can do that? Because God has blessed you with the means to do it, with the desire to do it, and You were placed at that time as the church to represent the church in the community. And giving that money to help defeat cancer is outreach. But it's also the church doing what? Glorifying God. Now, every one of us probably does this multiple times during the week. Not one of the 13 miles. But you have a story. It could be at the gas station, and you look and you see a young couple there like a couple weeks ago, and you just look and see. You know how you can tell? They got all the car doors open, they're looking underneath the seats, just trying to find any kind of money at all because they can't pay gas. And it might get set up for me, I don't know, but I just saw it when the softie comes in and says, hey, can I fill it up? They always wanted, and it's really nice to say, give me your name and address, and I'll pay you back. I said, no, I'm going to relieve you of the temptation because more than likely, I don't want you to be tempted not to do that. Just pass it on to them. The idea of paying it forward several years ago. But that's the church. And we're not giving ourselves, I don't want to use the word credit, or maybe we're not giving God enough credit for how we are impacting the communities every day. Now, here's something we will find out. When we start looking at these opportunities that we have, we start recognizing that God has put me there. And by the way, in your community, your people, you're the one gifted to reach them, or God would have them in your life. Sit down with the eldership and they 500 members of say, and then they go, we've done gift tests, and everyone, all 500 members, knows their gift. I thought that's pretty amazing. That's pretty good. Then I asked them the next question, which is probably not good. Good question to ask. Do you have 500 jobs? And most congregations don't. That's the reason why it ends up being 10% and 90% work. Because we can't expand. But think about it this way. What if your giftedness is your community? Now we don't have enough gifted people. And it's ever expanding. So we need to reach them. So what does church look like Monday through Saturday? And how does that impact Sunday? In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is around the crowd. And I want you to notice three things here. The individual, the crowd, and Jesus. I want us to look, and these are just four stories we're going to look at tonight, but there's hundreds of them. You're going to find this consistent with Jesus every time. A crowd, a person, and Jesus. And we're going to look at Jesus' interaction with the crowd, and Jesus' interaction with the person, and what brings that person to Jesus. And the first person we come to, we know this now, when Jesus, verse 40, Luke 8, now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl about 12, was dying. This is a crisis in his life. Scripture says he's a ruler of the synagogue. And there's a crowd. When one of my children was born, about to be born, she was at Baptist Hospital in Nashville. They don't have those fancy rooms anymore, and the babies didn't go to the room at the time. They basically went to all those delivery rooms and all that, baby rooms. So there was 104 babies in the nursery at that time. And so if you had labor pains, you go to the hospital, right? You get in a wheelchair, and you had to go back and let the doctor check you out. But to go back to the room, guess what? You had to go through all the parents and grandparents and relatives, everyone looking in the nursery, their baby. So what happens to the crowd? The crowd parts. You roll back, you go and see the doctor and the nurse, check you out, and say, no, we're sorry. Those are false labor pains. Guess what you have to do next? Oh, you can't just get out of the wheelchair and say, okay, can I go around a different way? No, stay in the wheelchair. That's hospital policy, and we've got to roll you all the way back, right through the parting curtain. You just feel all that, oh, I'm sorry, oh, that's too bad. No, that's just me. That was definitely one. They're all looking at me. Oh. Jairus comes, and he has a reputation. What's his reputation? He's a ruler of the synagogue. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is just walking, and there's a crowd that welcomes him. He's just coming. It's just his everyday thing. He draws a crowd. This is every day he's walking the crowd. Jairus comes in. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. What does the crowd do? The crowd parts. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, position, power, prestige. What's his position before Jesus? With the crowd watching, he's on his knees. And we would do the same thing if our 12-year-old daughter was dying. Because it didn't matter what the crowd thought. I knew Jesus. He comes to me and he says, to Jesus, he says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, which means that Jesus was able to. He's going to the home. And have you ever been in a crushing crowd? I was in Atlanta at an SEC championship game, football game, and my son and I were there. And they had that, they call it Marvin system. It's like a metro system that picks you up where you park your car and bring you in and out. And it's after the game, and everyone's acting like, if I don't get on that train, first one that's there, the first part of there, the world's coming to an end. And we're in the front, just ready to get on, and the lady trips, just when the door's open. I tell you, I got scared. Because it took everything we have from getting crushed, and that lady, pick that lady up, and keep her from being crushed by the crowd. It's rushing. It always amazes me. You can be flying 40,000 feet in the air in a little tube for several hours. And everybody's nice and calm. As soon as the wheels hit the tarmac, everybody's unbuckling their seatbelts, and it's like, hey, they're not going to let us off. Can't wait to get off. You know, just pulling the luggage out, and getting out. This is a crowd. This is Jairus. This is a serious situation. And Jesus is being crushed by the crowd. It means if he's being crushed, it means he's being touched. But as he's going along, we all know the story, right? As he's going along, we're crushed. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Now, here's a dumb question by Jesus. Who touched me? Now, how do I know that that's a question that's a little bit ridiculous? Because Peter's going to say, what do you mean who touched me? Look at the crowd, it's all over you. Everybody's touched me. Jesus said, no, someone touched me. And so Jesus gives a clue that we need to pick up right here. And this clue is this. There's someone touching you in your crowd every day. In your crowded schedule, in your crowded time, in the crowded people that are around you, there's someone that might be reaching out and touch you. And the question for us is, church, do we feel them? Do we recognize them? Or are we just the crowd? Just moving along. Jesus, I can see him walking along. It's like one of these three students today. He's walking around, he's kind of running, but people are crushing him. He's walking, all of a sudden he stops. Can you see the crush? Hey, what's going on? Why don't we stop? What's going on here? You can just kind of see it, kind of picture it. You picture that happening? And why is Jesus stopping? The crowd parted from Jairus because of his prestige and his position of who he was. And he was on his knees, and Jairus he didn't care anything about the crowd, what they thought. His child was dying, and he needed Jesus. This lady, she needed Jesus too, but she's worthless to the crowd. Didn't mean anything to the crowd. If she went and asked the crowd to part from her, they wouldn't even think second. They would not do it. Part of the crowd. All she wanted to do is, I need Jesus. All I wanted to do is touch Jesus. If I touch him, that's the same thing with people in our crowd every day that we come from. So they just want to hear something. They want to know they're cared for. But they don't want to draw attention to themselves. They don't want to be a bother, but they need Jesus. They need the church. Which is, they need me. They need Jesus. To be so in tune with the fact, and it says, Jesus says, I felt something come out of me. Someone touched me. I felt some kind of power come out of me. He obviously felt the Holy Spirit healing him. He did that. But he stops the crowd. He doesn't stop the crowd because someone touched him. No more than the crowd parted because of Jairus. He stops the crowd in the chair and is walking with Jairus for the same reason for both of them. Is that they had faith. That they believed Jesus could help them. How wonderful it would be that the people knew around us that we could help them. And we're the first ones they reach out to. Because Jesus ruled my life. He stops the crowd. They all deny it. She didn't want anybody to know. Someone touched me, I know that. Power is gone from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then she said, then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Now we can do that as Jesus, but what we can do is when somebody comes into our lives and touches, or somebody comes blatantly in front of us, hey, listen, I know you go to church, I know you believe in Jesus, my marriage is being torn apart, what should I do? You say, let's pray. By the way, that's the first reaction you always do. Let's pray because I do not know any answers. I have no idea. Besides that, at crisis time, we're not listening to anyone. We need the Spirit, the Lord, to tell us how to answer this person. But more than anything else, they need Jesus. And they need to know that we're where we get our strength. And that is the church. He says, your faith has healed you, so why did he stop the crowd? The faith, why did he stop Jairus? Jairus is more demonstrates his faith in that he just falls at the knee. He falls on his knees in front of Jesus, and Jesus stops the crowd, and the crowd parts. Why? Because of faith. Know this. God will always stop and recognize faith. He will always recognize someone trying to reach out to him and seek to him. And as a church and our community, we always need to see and hear, as Jesus did every day, the person who's trying to seek and find God. And the person who's hurting and needs God. Needs the hope of a Savior. And by the way, this is not, where's the gospel story here? Jesus had sat down and said, hey, let's turn over our Bibles and let's start with John 3:16. Let's go to Romans 6 and talk about baptism. Let's go on and say, hey, let's talk about the Lord's Supper. Let's talk about what it means to worship in front of church. I've not seen Jesus do this. So when I talk about us being the church Monday through Saturday, it is, you need food. You need money. You need prayers. You need a visit. You need care. You need counsel. But just add a little bit to it. Add a prayer to it to say, thank you for, thank you, Jesus, for letting me be in the church today. That's what Jesus did. While he's doing that, people come to Jairus, synagogue of glory. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. We don't have time for you anymore. Don't waste his time. You're wasting your time going to him in the first place. Oh. Understand that Satan will not bring people to you. Satan doesn't want, when we start being the church every day, Satan doesn't want people to come to you. And they'll say, oh, don't go to him. Yeah. Why is it that when someone's going through a divorce, and sometimes it happens in the church, going through a divorce, that the people they go to is not people in the church, they go to the first five people that have had two or three divorces already for advice. And let me guess what the advice is. Oh, I don't have to guess. What? Guess what? Get rid of it. Get rid of her. You deserve better. Our eyes and our ears are tuned to that. They need a relationship with love. Jesus says, don't pay attention to them. Don't be afraid. I love that when he says, don't be afraid. We can go through that and have a whole series of that. Just believe and she will be healed. What does it mean, just believe? Keep that faith that brought you here. And she's brought back to life. Now, I want to look at verse 53 here real quick, because this is what's going to happen to you when you start being the church every day. There's one thing you need to know that Jesus taught us about being the church, about being a Christian. The world's not going to like you. In fact, the world's going to hate you. So if you're trying to make the world like you, you got to be careful, because what are you doing about your relationship with Jesus to make the world like you? And that's hard to do, because I want everybody to like me. Don't you want everybody to like you too? Except when it comes to Jesus, I have to love him. And I want to love him. Because he loves me. But when you start, when we start being the church, when we start helping people, and we start using our giftedness, and we start seeing our community around us, and we're hearing in the crowd the person, here's what's going to happen. Verse 53. They laughed at him. Because they thought he was weird. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. They laughed at him. How many of us want to be laughed at? I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be laughed at. Jairus didn't care. The woman who touched Jesus didn't care. Jesus didn't listen. He says, focus your faith. Remember that you're focusing on helping someone. I work with the Department of Children and Families as a child protective investigator. I call it my wilderness years. Some horrible things. I saw what life was without Jesus. Horrible things. Spiral fracture where kids' arms have been snapped. Two deaths where one was where they took the child up at ankles and more than one. One shaking baby syndrome because the child he's in the bathroom, which, by the way, under 2 years old, the number one cause of abuse. How can you do that to children? There are those that you say, and the way you do it is you're not listening to the world, the people around, and you're not listening to all the excuses to why we do that, why we're going. You turn around, and here's what you do. Focus on that person and helping that person one at a time. You're not listening to the crowd. You're not listening to the world around. Just focus on that person, caring for that person and loving that person. Trying to save that person's life and giving them a seed of eternal life. Why do we do it? Because we're the church. For the first 5 or 6 years when I was out of doing that, I'm the one who was knocking on doors at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying, I need to see your child. And I'm the one who was taking them out of the home. Most of the time I take them out of the home is many times taken to the hospital. When one thing came and I spent, the girl was 15 years old, she had a baby in her arm, she had a meth spoon, aluminum spoon on one knee, and she's trying to light and melt the meth, and get the meth, and she burns the child. Spent all Thanksgiving trying to find her, she had a house. People who reported her, she saw me come and take the child to the hospital. And when she says, don't take my child away from me, because here's her words, she is my only hope. At 14 years old, and she is your only hope, that's how messed up the world is. You're going to be laughed at. But don't feel bad about that, because even when we meet on Sunday mornings, the world, you look at news and stuff like that, and people think about church, what do they think about? They're already laughing at us. They're already making fun of us. They already think we're different because we follow Jesus. In fact, they think we're fundamentalists, they think we're conservative, they think we're just not right, and all that stuff. So they're already doing that, and we're not really affecting their lives. So what's the problem you do every day? Right? Jump over real quick to Luke chapter 18. Jesus is getting ready to go to Jericho. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging him. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. The blind man asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. When we need Jesus, we need Jesus. When a person needs Jesus, they need Jesus. They don't need the crowd. Jesus knew very well the crowd that he fed of 5,000 and 4,000 is going to be the same crowd that's going to say, crucify him, crucify him. The those who led the way rebuked him. Who do you think said at the beginning of the entourage around Jesus? Who do you think those who led the way in Jericho, the handlers of Jesus, who do you think those are? I can give you three real quick, Peter, James, and John. And the other nine. We got the 12. I mean, Judas is even up there with them at this point. We got the 12. They're going into Jericho. And what did they do in front? What did they do? These are the disciples. These are the apostles. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more. And there are some people in our lives that are shouting, they need us, they need us, they need us. And there's other people in our crowd, our time, our technology, if we're not careful, is shouting at us, I don't have time, I don't have time. Let someone else take care of it. And they're not giving up, they're shouting more. Important people, the apostles are leading this way. They're rebuking and say, shut down. Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Jesus stopped. How many times do you think the world wants us to be quiet? Church. Jesus stopped. What did Jesus do? Who did he stop? He stopped the crowd. He ordered the man to be brought to him. Bring here. When he came near, Jesus asked him. And here is another one of those questions. He's a blind man. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, I got this one. Is this a pop quiz? I got to answer this one. Call me. I got that one. He wants to see. And see, we thought Jesus knew everything, right? Yes, but it's right there. What kind of question is that? What do you want me to do for you? What kind of question is that? He's blind. Come on, Jesus. Now, here's what Jesus was asking. Are you ready for me to change your life forever? You will never be able to beg again. You will have to start living and working, and your life is going to change. So when he's asked, what do you want me to do? What do you, and Bartimaeus, what do you really want me to do? Do you really want me to do this because I want to change your life? Jesus comes and stops the crowd and does the same thing. Receive your sight. Notice this. Your faith has healed you. When someone comes to you and you don't, and you hear it, and you're going to start hearing it now, in the crowd, and they just mention what's going on in their lives. Guess what that is? That is faith that you can help them some way. That is faith that the church is real. That's the church being aware. Outside of the walls. Verse 19. Chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I will not sing for you because I am trying out for this position. Jen, why do you laugh? You haven't heard me sing. My Stephanie, she didn't laugh. He goes into Jericho and says, "Zacchaeus, he's a wee little man. He's just seeking. He's just looking. He goes up to the sycamore tree. We know it, right? When Jesus gets to the spot where it's Zacchaeus, I want you. He's coming to Jericho. He has a crowd. He's going into Jerusalem. And I see the handlers. Here's the podium. Here's the stage. We got it all set up. Sound system ready to go. We got the PowerPoint. Come on, Jesus." We are ready to go. There's where you're supposed to be. Jesus, where are you going? Jesus, where are you going? I'm going to the sycamore tree. That drives him up the wall. Because in our world today, popularity, politics, just think what Jesus could change. He goes, no, I need that. He keeps walking. He keeps walking. And everybody's in the crowd. Everybody's trying to figure out. And he goes to the sycamore tree. He sees a man in the sycamore tree. And he imagines Zacchaeus sitting there and all of a sudden he says, all I did was look at this. I'm just seeking Jesus. I was trying to observe what's going on. And Jesus knew he needed him. And the whole crowd's looking where? What you doing up there? Look at that crazy guy. What does Jesus do? Zacchaeus! Jesus gives us the food for how we're supposed to do the church among the staff. It's people we know by name. It's personal. It's not the stranger. It's not the one that's just out of nowhere. It's more likely in the crowd, it's the person that you brought in. Zacchaeus, I come to your house today. Oh, what would the crowd do then? Hey, disciples, do you know Jesus where he's going? Does Jesus know who this man is? He's a tax collector. He's lower than a snake's belly. He's a cheater. He's a liar. He works from the other side. He's a traitor because he's probably collecting for a Roman government too. And he knows how much money we have. He's despised. He's a sinner. He's a sinner. Your friend, your neighbor, your child, a loved one. Why do you put it on them? Why do they keep doing that? You know, I've counseled families and parents constantly, and I hear parents that know everything. And you can tell a parent that has not yet experienced what a child can do to you. What kind of ridiculous thing they do. What kind of trouble we get when you hear these parents. You know what those parents say? I had a tough life. Let them stay in jail overnight. Teach them a lesson. Don't give them any more. And just cut them off. Do that. No. You as a parent. There's so many parents are going through this now, and there's people around you who have children the same way and go around that. You've ever been a parent, they've done it, and you know that you do whatever you need to love that child. You don't want that child in jail at night. And when you're sick, you hurt. You're sick and hurt because you love. And yes, it's what it is. It's probably sin. And you know what the crowd's yelling? Tough love. Crowd's yelling. All of them making their own. He is a sinner. Why are you doing that? Oh, that's not what we mean. I meant what you mean. Why? Because he was a sinner. And Zacchaeus was looking at the tree to see whether or not he could be saved. A sat down with a guy named George Sherman. He was a Nazi in Germany, Virginia. Not only was he a Nazi in Germany, and he was on the Russian front, he was a Panzer tank driver. The elite group. They ran out of ammunition, if you know any of the history. The two-front war that Hitler was trying to fight, they couldn't do it, and the Russians were not. They ran out of ammunition. He's the Panzer tank driver. What do I do? Here's his instructions. When you come to a foxhole, you take the tank and go like this. First tank. Now tell me what this Jesus had. How can I be forgiven of that? Fortunately, he answered himself, only Jesus can forgive me of that. Because the world won't. Those men who died and killed them all. Only Jesus can forgive me of that. Because I was a sinner. People still despise him today. But I'm no longer defined as a Nazi, I'm now defined as a child of God. That's why Jesus went to Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus was dying in sin. There's somebody reaching out to you that you know personally by their name. He's not preaching. Where's the sermon Jesus preached here? Where is the sermon that Jesus preached? I'm going to find it. What did Jesus do? I had dinner with him. And just by his presence, that he has figured out what he needed to do. Jesus doesn't call Zacchaeus the sinner. Jesus calls Zacchaeus that he is. The crowd calls Zacchaeus the sinner. And here's the line. Zacchaeus repents and says, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said, and today salvation has come to this house because the man too is the son of Abraham. For the son of man came to seek and save what was lost. What does the church do Monday through Saturday? We listen for the person that needs to see your Jesus. But here's the beautiful thing about that story, these stories. And I want to encourage you this morning, anything else? You are doing that. You just didn't recognize that God's been using that way. Now that you see it, you'll do it more. Now, let me show you how this works Monday through Saturday. When you come in to worship the Lord on Sunday, you're bringing your stories of praise to God, how He's been working in my community, and worship is never boring again. Worship is only as good as how God used you during the week. And now you've got stories. You've got people, you've got faces, and before you know it, your community will be in the church family community. In the waters, like Morgan's Day, will consequently, babies will be born. We are the church. With Jesus Christ out of the way. He's raised. He's in heaven. And he's coming back again. Are we excited about that? No, it's not just a matter of feeling good. It's a matter of, oh, yes. I understand now what it means to walk like Jesus. Father, give us the strength to walk like you. Use us. Make us available. We're so busy. But the beautiful thing about the church, especially here at the end, is we're not too busy to hear the people crying. And the people needing and to be your church every day. Because at one time we cried, and one time we shouted, and one time you called our name, and we thank you so much. Jesus' name, Jesus, thank you.